How dare we hold other people's future captive in our mouths because we're not willing to put that out there and be good stewards of this business, essentially, that we've been blessed with.
Shall we begin?
This podcast is about leaving your corporate job to go full-time with your business. Today, my guest is Steph Cram. Steph is an entrepreneur, fitness coach, and life coach. She left her corporate job to become a full-time Beachbody coach. So in this episode, I talk with Steph and her husband, Jeremy, about the challenges of entrepreneurship and how they've overcome obstacles to create a six-figure fitness business. My name is Steve White. And this podcast is Average Joe to CEO. On this podcast, you can expect to receive steps and strategies to implement right away to see success in areas like health and mindset and business and relationships. So what I do is talk about not only my journey, but interview other people that have gone from Average Joe to CEO and employee to employer. So let's jump right into the episode and talk to Steph and her husband, Jeremy, and hear their story about how they went from corporate America to owning their own company. So let's start with where you are now, what you're doing now, and talk about that, and how Jeremy's involved, and just about your business.
Yeah, so it's going on almost 5 years now that we have been building this. And I say we because, well, it was definitely something that I took that initial first step and dove into. This is definitely a we business. This is a legacy that we're building for our family, and it's not just mine. But I have been doing this for 5 years. Four of those years have been juggling this within the full-time busy working mom cracks of my day. Say that five times right. Real fast. Because I was working that 8-to-5 corporate hustle, working for a very successful healthcare company, and just along the way kind of felt like there was something missing and never really knew what that was. But, you know, kind of dove into the health and fitness arena. Actually, what got me started was after having baby number two and personally struggling with a lot of extra physical baggage and, you know, weight and just belief and confidence in myself. And it was actually the tools and the products that helped to get me back that I fell in love with. And it, you know, I discovered things about myself that I kind of forgot were there since high school and college. And there was an opportunity just to share that transformation and to share that life change with other people that were walking through very similar seasons that I was in. Right. And to be transparent, like we talk about this all the time in our business, is we want to be hot, right? Like not physically hot, but, you know, humble, open, transparent. And I resisted the business side of it.
So that's hard. And so from following you and seeing what you put out and do is you're very transparent. And you're very honest and open. Like you're sharing everything. You share like, I don't want to get up today. I don't want to do this. And man, I'm like, oh, I resonate with that, but it makes me want to do it. It makes me want to get involved. So I love that about being open, honest, and transparent.
Yeah. And I will say it's not always easy at first, you know, because when you jump into, you know, I remember jumping into this business and having this title of, you know, health and fitness coach. And here I was still 45 pounds overweight. I was the least qualified person to like have that title. And it was like, who's going to listen to me? Who am I going to make an impact with? But, you know, the reality was I had to remember, you know, I have friends that are personal trainers and are certified, like they're good at what they do. And I've leaned in on them for wisdom and knowledge. But in that season where I was, I couldn't connect with that because they were so far away from where I was.
Right.
I just wanted someone that could relate to what I was going through, that could just walk with me. And so it's not always easy to share the bad and the ugly, but sometimes it's what gives people hope. You know,
and so that's Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start a podcast like this, Average Joe to CEO, because everybody sees the success. They see, oh, this person has this or these things or has reached this level, but they don't know that it takes to get there. And you're normal just like everybody else. You guys have, you know, schedules and kids and bills to pay and everything else. So even though you're mentors to people, right, you still are mentored by folks because you realize, like, there's still a lot to learn. There's a lot I have to do there. And so even though you've had lots of good things happen in your life, nobody sees that level to get there. Like, oh, Steph has it all together. She's working out. She's got a great husband, two great kids. They have this wonderful house. They don't see what it took to get up to that point, right? But you share that. You share, you know, when there's a job loss or when there's something going on or when the kid's sick or I don't want to get up and work out today, but I'm doing it anyway. That's what people need to see. And that's why I wanted to have you on and really share all those things.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people fall into the it's only happening to me stigma. And that's so not true. It's happening to so many other people. And they're always afraid to talk about it because they do. They only think it's them. And they don't want to share that because they feel like they're going to get embarrassed when, in fact, there are so many hundreds and thousands of people that are going through exactly the same thing that you're going through.
Yep.
It's just nobody wants to talk about it.
No. And so I, you know, just a little history of me, I suffer from anxiety in different ways and different levels. And until I shared that, man, I felt like I was alone. And there's so many people that have that same type of, it doesn't matter what it is, this is just my example, but there's so many people that suffer or you know, struggle with the same things, that's a better word, and they don't want to share. And if they did, man, it would open up so much. So you do that. You share all of it, the good, bad, and the ugly is what you said.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, Tony Robbins said, and in a quote a long time ago, you know, people are often praised in public for things that they spent years doing in private.
Oh, man.
You know, and you look at people like a LeBron James and it's like, oh, my God, like he's so lucky and he's so great. And it's like you see the person they are now, but you miss the 15, the 20 years they spent every day, like just showing up and doing the small little things. But that's not the sexy stuff. It's not the attractive things. And people just, we live in such a microwave society where everything's instant gratification. And then people get disappointed and they quit when they realize, like, no, you actually have to show up and do the work, you know?
That's right. And so one of the things that I notice, I mean, that I've seen more recently is you have, I don't know if you call it an accountability group, but you like meet up with people live on whether it be Facebook or whatever, and you guys are connecting, working out together. Even though you're not together, you're still working out, right?
Yeah.
So that's one level. The other level is you and Jeremy are looking at each other like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. Let's get in there. And I've even seen the kids come down with you. So it's this accountability personally, but together, like this whole group, and you've created that in this group and business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was really the biggest thing that, you know, I think a lot of times, and it doesn't matter what, you know, when you go into entrepreneurship, it doesn't matter what your title is. You end up wearing multiple hats, but at the end of the day, it's that leadership from a servant's heart. And everything that, you know, we're not perfect. We are always learning and we're pretty open about that. But one of the things that we definitely said was important to us that we were missing in our corporate lives was that element of serving from a place of love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been through the layoffs and the downsizing and the reduction in forces. And at the end of the day, what we do in our 9-to-5, like what we did, it mattered, but it mattered to a bottom line. It didn't matter to a heartbeat.
Right.
So yeah. It was, we wanted to create in this business an opportunity to not just, you know, change a number on a scale or change someone's belief in themselves. We wanted this to become something that passed through generations and that they could bring into their home and teach their kids and their grandkids and kind of break some of the bondage that they were carrying around. And, you know, health and fitness, it's not just about health and fitness. It's everything else, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of cool that we've kind of stumbling and somewhat kicking and screaming into an opportunity that we're like, really, this is kind of what we're doing now, that we've embraced it and we're like, this is what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it well.
So it's awesome that you looked at it as, look, I have this extra weight and things that I'm doing it. I don't feel good about myself. And then into where you are now. And so I really want to highlight that process. Like, why did you even choose this route? You know, I'm sure, and Jeremy, you can probably speak to this, there's a bunch of things that were happening, probably trying this, trying that, before it clicked. So do you mind sharing some of that? And like decisions you made, or?
So the funny thing is, we got to give you a little bit of background knowledge on how we even met, because, you know, we were both athletes in school. You know, I cheered and danced and played softball, and Jeremy was the football player that, you know, blew your knee out, got recruited to toss girls around on the cheer team, and you know,
yeah, he went from football to cheerleading. You don't hear a lot of guys talk about that story, but yeah, you know, wow,
that's a different podcast.
Yeah. What travel sell?
but when we first met, I mean, the whole idea of wellness was really important to us. So we were that young couple that, like, we got the gym membership and we would go to the gym early in the morning. And, you know, your background,
I have a degree in exercise physiology.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, he's the dude that knew legitimately what he was doing. And I'm just, like, the tiny little blonde walking in going, what treadmill's open today? And, you know, hoping I can take a class. But and that worked for us until we started having a family. And then, you know, working 10 to 12 hours in an office, the last thing that we wanted to do was the logistics of, okay, we have to pay extra time for a sitter. And then, you know, gosh, we're tired. We just want to sit down and spend time. Like, logistically, it just didn't work in our lives anymore. And so that just became our new normal. And it wasn't until after Brody, our youngest, was born, where it was like, all right, you know, we're just existing and going through the motions. Yeah. And it was hard for me to lose. You know, I gained 33 pounds with Emma. It was really easy to bounce back. Brody, it was really hard, really, really hard. And, you know, going to the gym wasn't an option, A, because I didn't feel confident about myself. And there was always that stigma of, you know, even though I wasn't horribly overweight, you know, I'm 5 foot nothing. So that, you know, 45 pounds shows. But I didn't feel like going through and getting dolled up to go in and run on a treadmill, which I hate anyway. And then, like, come home and feel like, well, I did a lot of work, but I didn't really do anything.
Right.
And, so we were looking for options that just logistically fit our family and our lifestyle. And, you know, looking at home workouts, which, you know, I remember one of my girlfriends got killer results doing Insanity. And I was like, I don't care what you're doing. Like, I want to look like you.
Yep.
And naively, I was like, hey, let me just borrow your DVDs. And she's midway through and she's like, Steph, it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so I think I, like, went on Amazon or eBay or something, 'cause that's what she did.
Yep.
And I ordered a program, and I will never forget getting that box in and being, like, jazzed and ready to go. Like, I'm going to do this. And because I'm all
spike
or nothing.
Before the crash.
Right. Yeah. Like, well, because I'm
like
all.
It's like New Year's.
Yeah.
New Year's resolution.
Dude, yeah. It was.
Same type of thing.
And it was crazy. And, you know, I remember going downstairs. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to look smoking hot. It's going to be great. And, you know, the first 5 minutes, I don't have asthma, but I was like, I'm going to die. Like, Sean is trying to kill me. And I quit. I stopped. And I remember going back upstairs, cracking open my third Diet Coke and, you know, making a pound of pasta for dinner and just, like, emotionally eating on how badly I sucked.
Yeah. And this, we'd have to take turns working out because, one, we'd have to stay with the kids or, you know, take care of Brody was a baby. So you had to sit with him, and then she would go down and work out. And then she was done, we'd switch spots, and then I would go down and work out. You know, and it was not easy.
No.
And it wasn't fun that way, trust me. But we pushed through it. I think it's probably 2-3 weeks we actually did it. And then we were just like, I was like, I can't, you know, my knees were shot. I was like, I can't continue this workout.
But the biggest, the most humbling moment, you know, because I think that's the problem. A lot of us, you know, it's easy to get inspired by what people that we know are doing. And there's so many things out there. There's so many quick fixes and fads and just, like, let's put a Band-Aid on that check engine light and do whatever we can to avoid actually doing the work. And I'll never forget, it was probably pushing a month of me doing this, going downstairs, starting, quitting, coming upstairs and, like, sulking in my emotions. And my husband so lovingly, I think, was just tired of me complaining and whining about it. He was like, look, I love you, but one of two things are going to happen. Either you are going to stop this craziness, or you're going to suck it up, buttercup, and you're going to actually like do it, right? Like, do you want it or not?
Love your husband.
And, but at the moment, like, I needed that. I needed someone who loved me enough to say, get your act together.
Yep.
And I went downstairs. I finished one round of insanity, which was bananas. But the problem was that I wasn't changing the habits that got me into that situation in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
so there was a lot of things that led up not to just going and doing the DVD, but all the other pieces with it. Got it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I was actually, in transparency, I was pretty bitter because, you know, I was looking at the people in the video and I'm like, I'm doing this every day and I'm dying and I don't look like anyone in this video. This doesn't work. But what I wasn't seeing was that I was going upstairs and I was eating a sleeve of Oreos and I was drinking the Diet Coke and I didn't change my relationship with food. And when I learned that, when I started incorporating a couple of things that helped change that and really dialing in my nutrition, I did a second round of insanity and the weight dropped and I felt great. And I had confidence, like, wait a minute, like, it's not that the program, that the system doesn't work. It's that I needed to fix things about me. So it forced us to.
Yeah. And I think that's been the biggest part of anything, is not strictly just doing the workouts, even though that is very important, but it's changing not only your relationship with your food, but it's changing who you are. Because you can talk about lifestyle changes and everything else, but you're working on personal development and confidence and feeling better about yourself, that you're not only just changing your physique, but you're actually changing who you are as a person. And that is the biggest win.
Yeah, that's huge. I think, and so just leading into the change of everything, so people will go to the gym and not eat, or eat well and not go to the gym, and they miss the whole part, and so they're down and they quit. And I think all those together and the personal development Jeremy's talking about gets you to the life change, right? This is a new way to live, that I'm living and making good choices all the time. Sure, I can enjoy the cake, but I'm not eating cake five nights a week.
Right.
So that's huge for the life change. So as I follow and see the things that you post, it's a lifestyle change, and you're encouraging people to, look, be accountable to yourself. It's okay that you don't want to do it. But here's how you get over that. Here's how I get over that. Coffee, pre-workout, whatever it may be. It's 4:30 in the morning and I'm here. And I want you to do it too, and I believe in you. And I think it's important when you're putting that out there and being honest and transparent, is when you're looking at that camera and we're looking back at you, we feel like you're really there for us. So, you know, and seeing that, you don't see that because you're making the video, right? But we see that, like, you really care, and you're like, this sucks, and I hate this workout, and I don't want to do legs today, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I know you can too. And that's what you relate to people.
Yeah.
So that's the change that Jeremy's talking about, that relationship.
It's knowing that they're not alone in doing it. And that's the whole purpose of doing the challenge group, is to let you know that you're not doing this by yourself. We're not saying, here, buy the program and then you're on your own. No. You buy the program, or you're going to do whatever program, and you're going to do it with us, you know, and we're going to be right there with you. It may not be the same time of day, but we're right there, and we're always a message away, a call away, a video away, or whatever. And, you know, you're always going to have contact with maybe not just us, but anybody else in that group too. There's always that support of the whole group, not just us, that's going to push you and guide you and help you through the tears and the sweat and the, I didn't feel good today, so I had to modify everything. And that's perfectly fine.
Yep.
I mean, but you did it. You made it through.
Yep.
And that's the key, is to just keep it. And then what is it? How many days is it to make it a habit, they say? 21
so there's,
days
there's,
or something weird.
But
like
there's
that.
A science behind that. Like, you'll hear it takes 21 days to change a habit. It's more like 63. Like the neurologically. So 23 days, like, or 21, you can change your habit, but neurologically, like, your pathways and it takes 63 days for it to be a true habit.
So, you know, when I think the change happens, so you're working, I don't know what that those numbers are the numbers. I don't know what they are, but when I'm motivated to keep going is when somebody says, man, I really noticed some changes, or man, your arms look bigger, or whatever it may be, right? Whatever, that, man, you really look like you're slimming down. That's when it like starts hammering home. I don't know what the time frame is in that, but I never make it.
Yeah, well, but it's funny. So you mentioned that, and that was really the turning point that went from us just being consumers of these products and resources to, hey, maybe this can become a vehicle for us to help other people walking in the same season. So, you know, at the time that we actually started our business, like I said, I was still trying to get rid of that weight.
Yep.
He had just been laid off for the second time. So our income was cut by 70%. Mm. There was a lot of financial burden. There was a lot of a mental and emotional baggage that we were carrying around, a lot of emotional eating and binge drinking on my part. And I would have girlfriends that I would see every day in my old job who I confided in and would just kind of pour my heart out. They knew every single thing going on behind the scenes. They knew the days where, you know, we would have a fight the night before over money or lack thereof, or just lose our patience. And they started seeing that I was changing, not just physically on the outside, but I was, as a person, I was changing. And so they were coming in and they were like, Steph, like, you've got all this stuff. And by the way, we just closed on our new build house that like we needed both incomes for. So yeah. Like,
good timing.
Stress level goes.
Now we're going to lose it. Like, yeah. And that was the Christmas too. Honestly, like I'll never forget as an adult having to call my mom bawling and asking her to pay for Christmas for our kids, because it was either Christmas or we put food on the table, you know, like, and as a, as an adult, that's like, I've failed.
That hits,
you know,
right in the center of the chest.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and it was rough.
It was absolutely horrible. And that was our life for a good 6-7 months that we were walking through that like wilderness. But I would have these girlfriends that are like, how is it that you're going through all of this and you have a smile on your face, or you're seeing the bright side? And they, you know, they knew that it was more than just like Susie Sunshine, former cheerleader, coming in. And I would say, well, really, like, all that I want to do is punch a hole in my walls, but they're new and I can't ruin the drywall. So here's this program I'm doing to kind of take out my frustration. And, you know, I need to make sure I control my emotional eating. So this is, you know, this supplement I'm taking, this is what I'm eating, this is what I'm making for dinner in the busy nights. And, you know, I'm reading this book that's teaching me how to just shift my mindset, not stay focused on the stuck. And as I was sharing these things, I had people that I would see every day and would open up, and it was, oh my God, me too. And at the end of the day, that was the win. And it was like, wait a minute, here I am being held accountable. Here we are being held accountable to our wellness. And there's an opportunity to build a business to serve and help others walking through the same thing. And we have a solution and they don't even know that this exists. Like, we're bad friends if we don't share this.
Yep.
And that's really where the whole mindset shifted. And we were like,
yeah,
this is something we can do.
It also shifted off, quit thinking and feeling sorry for yourself and start working with other people too and helping them through it. Because again, you're not alone. You're stuck in that stage again. Like we mentioned before, it's like, you think you're the only one going through this type of season? I mean, we've gone through so many seasons, from me being laid off, or like, especially when we signed the house, or, you know, kids, and yeah. I mean, so many other things. And it's natural. It's human life. I mean, we all go through it, but it's taking that step back and being like, look, it's not just me. So the change that we're going through, let's share it with our friends, like she said, and why shouldn't we? Because we knew some of our friends were going through some of the exact same things we were.
Right.
So why not share this with them?
And
so
how scary was that to share those things, right? Because you're an adult, you have a house, you have great things going, and you're like, well, the world's kind of crashing around me, and I feel alone, but I don't want to share, because I don't want to share my things. You know, I want to feel like I have it all together. I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm starting to, obviously, but you know, when you guys were going through that, I mean, it had to be scary enough on its own, much less having to share the stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's vulnerable. Yeah. I mean, it is tough to be vulnerable sometimes, but that's where you get over that fear And that's where you'll find the best stuff. I mean, we talked about that in our, and I think it was Will Smith who mentioned that in one of his podcasts on Facebook one time. You know, God will put the best things for you on the other side of fear. Mm. You know, and he mentioned that about going skydiving, how you're so excited to go, you signed up for it. And then once you get to the airport, you get ready to hop on the plane, all of a sudden you're getting really nervous, you can't sleep the night before. And when you get ready to jump out, they say, we're going to jump on three, but they'll jump on two because they know you're going to put your hands out and try to stop yourself from jumping. But he goes, once you jump, he goes, it's the most peaceful thing ever. He goes, it's the most peaceful, relaxing, and the most exciting thing at the same time. He goes, God will always put the best things for you on the other side of fear.
Wow.
And that's why you always be like, you always face your fears and you go at it. And, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. I get it. But that's what you have to do. And so we face that fear at that point of being vulnerable about our lives and what we were going through. But knowing that there were other people that we knew going through some things that were similar. Mm-hmm. So when we shared that, it was a connection.
Wow.
But to be, you know, to the point of being humble, open, and transparent, I mean, let's be honest, when we look at sharing and then using this as a platform to start a business,
yep.
You know, and my biggest thing was I'm a people pleaser. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of failure. And quite honestly, I probably care more about what other people think that will, like, I will rearrange my life to avoid the rolling of the eyes and the criticism, you know? And especially with our business being in network marketing, there's a stigma, right? Because there's so many, you know, there's people that do it wrong.
Yep.
There's the sleazy salesperson. There's, you know, there's, and a lot of it is just the unfamiliarity of you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And we always remember the bad, and you, but you never see the people that are successful because they, what if they actually do it the right way? And I'll never forget, you know, in our 9-to-5s, when we would get that big promotion, you know, it's like your friends high five you, your boss takes you to lunch and all this. But then the moment that you step out and you're like, I think I'm going to try and start my own business. Mm. And if it's not a brick and mortar, you know, if it's not something where you're having to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital to have this storefront, if it's online in a completely new space, if it's network marketing, like I actually had my sister that was like, you've got a degree, like, and you've got a big girl job. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
You know? And that for a long time, like we can sit back and encourage, like, no, be you, like be you, boo, all day long. But that was really intimidating in the beginning. And, you know, we both, I especially just because of how I'm wired, found myself like, I would put a mask on and I was afraid to talk about, you know, the business because I was afraid of judgment, you know, and that held us back.
So I have my corporate job. I have detailing, I have some real estate, and now the podcast, and it's hard to be vulnerable, it's hard to be open, it's scary to share, and I don't want to be judged either, you know? And the worst critic is ourselves. Like, we're judging ourselves and don't realize other people don't care that much. They're just excited to see things going or happening, and they're worried about their own issues. So once you realize, like, other people have problems, we're all here together, let's just share and see what happens. And so, like, all right, well, we went, you know, live on Facebook. I'll just share that. And I went to move my phone because it was echoing. I threw it on the ground. And so what? It was funny. You know, we laughed about it. Nobody cares. It doesn't. It's out there in the world, and it doesn't matter. We just shared. And that, I think that's the important part of how your transition and dealing with not only a client, but having the business. Let's just share everything. Let's share the workouts. Let's share eating. Let's share having wine with our, because I know you connect with people and you'll have like some wine or something, and just being real and showing all those things, I'm sure has helped. I mean, how could it not, right?
Yeah.
How could not being real help somebody? I think that's one of the problems that you see Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. Like, everybody puts the mask on that you talked about, and I just want people to see this. Yeah, I mean, you feel that drive when you're looking there. Oh, I have to have it laid out a certain way. I have to have a certain color scheme on my Instagram. I have to have these certain things. But the people that do well are the ones that are just real. Like, here's my life. This is how I live. Come join me.
That's what's drilled into you by corporate America. I mean, you go to your corporate job and it's like, Jeremy, you can't be like this in front of the customer.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I built my base because I was real and I was who I was. And that's when I was most successful for my company. But they didn't like the fact that, oh, you can't say things like, why can't I? They're real people too.
Yep.
You know, yeah, they're going to be our customer, but they're real. They can read right through you when you're being fake and just trying to show the best parts of this. But if you're real and show them exactly who you truly are, they're going to relate to that more than anything.
Man. So, you know, I went to the 10X Growth Con, right, with Grant, you know, Cardone and a lot of other speakers too. He's real. He doesn't care. He says whatever he thinks whenever. You know, he's got $1 billion in real estate and he's very successful online marketer. And you see everything. You see behind the scenes, he'll cuss, he acts like a fool, obviously, you know, but I really think that's him. I really, like, when I see him going, that's him. And Elena, yeah, like, looks at him and shakes her head, his wife, and I don't know. So I'm sure you guys do that too. You're like,
well, and part of that is, well, and then part of that though is branding. You know, every yeah, business, it's knowing who are you serving, you know, and we're pretty open. You know, there's people that we're not going to be their cup of tea. Yep. And 5 years ago, you would have found me like kicking and screaming, like, no, everybody's welcome. But at the end of the day, that's all right. Like, bless and release. And, you know, we tell our team and we've learned as well, you know, everyone needs a mentor. You know, you mentioned Grant, there's people, you know, Shalene Johnson's been a mentor of mine for years. And, you know, I remember learning very early on, is, you know, number one, other people's opinions don't contribute to my bank account.
Mm-mm.
Number one.
They like to think so.
Right. And yeah, and the second thing is, you know, especially in business and entrepreneurship, when there's that passion that's connected to your purpose,
yeah,
and you have that testimony of, you know, and especially in our case, this is what that extra income did as far as financial breathing room did for our family.
Alluding to it, but I know that faith is a big part of your family and helping to make decisions. And you pointed out, why would I not share this gift, you know, verbally or whatever? And that's something that comes from faith. Your faith tells you that. They tell you, share that, share what you have. So I want you to talk about that and how that decision-making process went. And look,
yeah,
man, I needed to sit down one day and you can even tell a story. Like,
yeah,
please tell me if this is the right thing.
Well, so funny is that it never used to be that way for us at all. I mean, faith was never part of the equation. You know, we both grew up in families where we didn't really have much, mm-hmm, growing up. And what you did have, you worked your face off for it.
Yeah.
And so there was, you know, I'm successful when I have a certain amount of dollars in the bank account. I'm successful when I have a certain title. It's that hustle for worthiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it especially for, I don't want to speak for you, like, especially for me, it was a lot of pride and ego attached to it. Like, you know, if it happens, it's going to be because I'm going to hustle my face off for it. And it's because I did it. I deserve it. But the crazy thing is, you know, divine intervention. We were actually at a conference with our business, like, I think second year in
2016.
Yeah, we were in Nashville. And, you know, many of our best friends that we've met have been through this business. And, you know, our flight was flying out later that night. We had some really good friends of ours that were like, hey, you know, they lived in Nashville and they invited us to go to church with them. And we both kind of looked at each other like, that ain't our jam, but we like them and we're going to go hang out. And, so we went and, you know, walking in they had a guest pastor and who was from what, Akron?
Yeah.
So he was an Ohio boy. Oh, wow. So we were like, I think,
yes,
Jeremy is even sitting in the, yeah, in the seats and he's like, oh, age.
Yeah. And the guy goes, IO. And boy, we got one here too.
Oh, man. Exactly.
But it was awesome. But yeah, it was a great experience and we actually truly enjoyed it. But we were like, man, I wish we had like something like this in Columbus, you know?
Yeah.
And we had searched for a church, you know, I mean, we just never could find anything we really connected with. And then it was funny because Jennifer, who was their lead of guest relations down there, she goes, it's so weird. She goes, one of our pastors is actually leaving to take over a church in Columbus. And we're like, what? Where? She goes, well, we can't tell you because, well, they haven't told us yet either. I was like, oh, okay. So it was probably 3 weeks later, she messaged us through our friends that live there and told us where it was. So we're like, well, we're going to go check it out. And lo and behold, that's the church we've been to ever since then, and have grown in faith through that and met it. It was just faith that we met, that we actually went that day and found a church in our own backyard that we never even knew existed. Wow. And have been there and serve and are a huge part of that church ever since. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. A funny and turn of events of how it got there. That is cool.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's one of those things too, you know, here we are, you know, like I said, 5 years later, you know, almost 3 years and really connecting very closely with our faith. And, you know, it's funny, there's, you know, I won't dive into it, but there's a passage in scripture, it's Psalms 107. And it talks about like being in different seasons in your life, like being in the wilderness and whether you went there willingly or kind of got thrown in your lap and like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what this means. I don't know what that next step is, to, being like guilt ridden, whether it's, you know, burdens that you carry or it's other people who are like falsely accusing and just feeling like I'm failing at everything.
Right.
To not being well, like it refers to sickness and, you know, whether it's physical or mental or just, you know, not being well. And then when the waves of life are just crashing and you feel like I can't control where I'm navigating. And it's funny because, you know, we could see ourselves in every single one of those seasons and, you know, even leading up to starting our business. And it's funny because, you know, we sat back and really thinking about that. And it's like, you know, as far as our faith, God could have placed any business any opportunity, business or not, on our laps and said, this is what I have planned for you. But, you know, we truly believe that our business, that it was intentional because this was the thing that needed to fix us first on the outside, mm-hmm. to gain that confidence and belief. That then gave us the strength and courage to tackle the things on the inside that for years we just kind of brushed under the rug, yep. and ignored. But that ultimately helped to establish trust. And we teach our team, everything rises and falls on belief, right? And some things we're not strong enough to tackle those until we kind of get those quick wins initially.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately the thing that, all right, this is what we are meant to do. And now it's our job to be good stewards of that. And so it's not just going into a 9-to-5 and punching the clock and going, I did what I had to do and I checked my to-do list. There's a purpose that drives everything that we do in our business. And the cool thing is that, you know, our kids can see this. Right. This is something that we're building for them. And it's ours. Like we don't have to fit into a mold, you know, be different. That's the beauty of entrepreneurship. But to get to that point, like what we've been talking about, it was messy. There were a lot of, you know, and Jeremy will attest to this. There were plenty of seasons where I was 10Xing and in hustle mode. And, you know, Gary, even like Gary Vaynerchuk was someone that I leaned on, mm-hmm. and on just like Grant Cardone, he's like hustle. And if you're not, and there were plenty of times where I was running on 2-3 hours of sleep. And there was a sexiness of like, I'm bleeding from my eyes because I'm hustling and getting it done. But I wasn't present. And it kind of got me back into that rhythm of, hey, wait a minute, I'm building this business. So I ultimately have more time freedom, but now I feel bonded to that thing that's supposed to free me. And it created a lot of tension and a lot of animosity, especially with my husband. And that was something you gotta learn how to
doing this. So doing that, right? So the corporate, the family, the extra hustle of this business and other things, I struggle with this, and I'm sure a lot of people do as well. That like when I'm here, I'm thinking about work, or if I'm at work, I'm thinking about, you know, the detailing or the podcasting, but even aside of that, when I'm with my kids, then I'm thinking about something else I need to be doing, Some of the reason for setting the goals that you guys have is to free up that time. And for me too, I want to free up time, but I catch myself thinking about these. So being present and being in that mode, and it's very conscious. It's not something that happens naturally. Like I'm here and I'm doing this. Like we're here tonight and we're doing this, and like that's where I'm at. And then when I'm done this, my next thing on my schedule is something I'm working at. And that's huge. And so you're the one, if you remember it, I don't know, it's been at least a year or maybe more ago, you were doing a Facebook Live, I think, and I joined in, and I had some side questions, and you're like, here's exactly how I have it written out. Here's my day, but I hold myself accountable to that. And it took me a while. Like I stumbled and tried and failed, and it's still not perfect, but I have it there. So like I'm doing this right now and that's it. And I'm fully committed on that. And then when that is up, I'm over here. And so is that something you guys still struggle with? Like, is that, I mean, how do you, because you're obviously coaching and telling other people this is what you do and you show it by what you have, but do you still have a hard time or think about other things?
It is a daily surrender.
Every day. I mean, it is a daily struggle. We did that. I think, I don't know if you're exactly talking about, but we did a thing called Breathing Room. And we learned a lot of that from church, and then we learned a lot from another friend of ours. But we did a little online course on that, on how to create breathing room in your life, not just with your fitness, but with finance and life and kids and your wife and everything else, and how to schedule. And so, but yeah, I mean, it's a constant struggle to completely hold yourself to that, because every day something's going to happen, you know, something may pop up that you got to, you know, either rearrange your schedule that you're going to have to take care of, or you're going to have to either brush it off till another day and whatever. But you always got to hold yourself accountable to what you've set down on that schedule. And there's days that we mess up. I mean, we're human.
Yeah.
I mean, weekends happen and you're like, oh, we forgot. We have to get snacks for soccer. You know what I mean? So now you're like, oh, well, there goes that. I got to push that up now because now I got to run to the store and get this. You know what I mean? So there's always something that pops up that you forget. And that's fine. And that's natural. You're human. You know what I mean? But if you can consistently hold yourself accountable to the best of your ability and not just be like, this is too hard. Screw it. I'm giving up and just going back. Because like when she mentioned she would work all day. She would come home and then she would work all night on her phone. And it was, we were like, what about us, you know? Because I was always cooking dinner and everything else. And even when she was sitting at the table eating, she was messaging on her phone. So she was here, but she was never present.
Yep.
And that was a huge, it caused a lot of conflict between her and I and the kids too.
And you resented the business for a while.
I did. Because that's when we realized, when you learned from Shalene, that you can't take this and be like, it's mine. It's ours. And that's when we learned that this is ours.
Yeah.
And you have to communicate this whole thing. And so when we did that, it kind of brought some peace to that, to where we could then take our own responsibilities of what needs to be done. So if she needed to truly get up here and do some work, then we could communicate that and I could take the kids and go do whatever. Or if there was something I need to do for that, then she could take the kids. But we always made sure that that point, that we also made time for ourselves.
Yeah. You know? I love that. You guys have date night. You guys, you know, work those things in. And I think that, you know, when they see the face, they see Steph's face, the business, right? But what part of the podcast and the reason for that I wanted you on, Jeremy, was important is, there's another side that people don't forget about. There's support and things that have to happen from the significant other that people don't see. They don't see that. They don't understand. So I love that you're sharing like that you guys were struggling. You have trouble. You have to make time for each other. You have to have a date night. I love seeing that. You guys are funny when you're going out and, you know, and hanging with friends and having a date night.
That needs
to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, she's the face of the business. I'm not going to lie. She does almost, well, pretty much everything. But I take care of everything on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier for her to do more now because she doesn't have that other job, because she's now works, does everything with Beachbody now at home. So she has a lot more time. But before, I do all the laundry. I did all the cooking and the cleaning. And then I took care of the kids so she could spend more time doing this to build it up. But then she would put the kids to bed, so she would get that time with them while I would go lay down and chill, you know, and then we would watch a movie or we would take a date night or something. But we always made it a point to, you know, make time for us, because you have to.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of problem with people nowadays in marriages. They just don't take the time they don't make the time for themselves to do that. That's why she brought up that phone comment, because, I mean, there was I hate Halloween. Okay, let's just throw that out there. I can't stand it.
I'm with you, man. That's one Halloween I don't like.
Sit on the driveway under a tent with a fire pit while the kids walk around with her, and the neighbors come sit because the ones next to us don't have kids or they're older and graduated. And then everybody else, our other neighbors, will just drop the candy off, so we hand theirs out while they would take their kids around. And I hate it. I absolutely hate Halloween. Yep. But there was that one year, I was like, you know what? I was like, as much as I hate Halloween, I wish I could dress up as an iPhone so my wife would play with me, you know, because she was constantly, that's all she was doing. And that's what was taking the time away from me and the kids. And yeah. I was just like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, we can laugh at it because it is kind of funny, but I was pretty serious at the point because it's like, you know, what about me here?
Yeah.
You know, you're doing all this for us, but you're sacrificing us right now. And that's not fair.
Nope.
You know, so there was a lot of struggle for a little while, but once we realized that, I mean, yeah, we always knew the reason of why she started this and why she wanted to do it, but we weren't doing it the right way. And right. That's when we had to take the time, not just for the business, but for ourselves to come together and realize what the role is and how we need to plan this out and how we need to schedule and everything else. So once we did that, it brought a lot more peace to what was going on.
So it sounds like your communication is really solid, because a lot of people are looking, they feel that tension and then they think, oh, I need a guy's weekend or girl's weekend away, and they get further and further apart in separation, and then it's too late, man. I'm so glad you shared that, and you know how you guys were like, hey babe, I appreciate it, but we need our day. And so that was good. I did want to talk about, I've been thinking about this the whole time you were talking about the struggle and dealing with the kids and having time. And I get choked up thinking about this because I have two boys. And the time, and you shared the story, and I think it was, I don't want to mess it up, but Emma was excited about something at school. You know which one I'm talking about.
I do.
She was like, Mom, what? And she stopped. It hits me right now. Like, I feel it.
Yeah. And that bottom line was my driving force for, if I want something different, then I need to do something different. And that was really the moment where I decided to go all in with this entrepreneurship venture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just the story for the listeners that, you know, don't follow or don't know this piece of our story. You know, as I shared, when I started off, I was grinding away in corporate America, really successful on the outside. We were living the dream, you know, really cushy paycheck, you know, all the flashy things. But inside the walls of our home, our family unit was crumbling. And Emma was 5 and was in her first year in kindergarten, and they had prepared probably for, you know, month or two before wrapping up the school year and pulling together different pieces of artwork and classroom assignments and binding this. They called them publishing books, but they were binding their work to really showcase their first year in school. And then they were presenting that to the parents. And, you know, the teachers for weeks said, here's the date, here's what we're doing, really to get the parents excited too. And the job that I had at the time, my schedule was dictated by my customers and by my clients. And so, you know, I could never commit to her whether or not I could be there. And Emma, 5 years old, she knew this. Like, you know, Mom, read me a bedtime story. No, I can't. Baby, Mommy's got to work. Mommy, play Barbies with me. No, I got to work. Like, she was just used to that being my automatic response. And, you know, that morning we were getting up so I could drop them off at daycare. Mm-hmm. And as usual, we were running late. And so I'm jiggling the keys and yelling like a crazy lady, get your stuff, let's go. And it was the day that she was presenting her work. And, you know, if you've ever seen, if you follow us on social media and you see, I mean, Emma's got the biggest, you know, hazel eyes that just like melt your heart. And I remember her like, Mom, today's the day. Are you coming to my, and before she could say class, our 5-year-old stopped. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, I forgot. You have to go to work. Mm. And it still chokes me up. Like,
oh, yeah.
Something that it was so normal and so routine. And she, I remember, didn't say a word to me, like dropping him off in daycare, like didn't say goodbye. It was basically like, you know, her heart was crushed. Mm. And, you know, I remember driving into the office that day with just tear-stained cheeks and just like, what am I doing? And as like salt onto an open wound, you know, one of my girlfriends whose daughter was in the class, you know, how did everything go? And, you know, to know that all but two parents were there for their kids, us being two of them, and knowing that someone else had to clap and cheer on our baby girl when really all that she wanted was mom and dad. And, man, you know, that was in a season where he finally got back to work and we were starting to like rebuild our finances and our rhythm. And I remember, you know, spending 5 years with this company where I just closed the biggest month in sales, like $100,000 on in my book of business, which, you know, in where I was, that was a big deal. And I remember going to the, you know, my boss, who was the president of the company, with my spreadsheets and my numbers, like, I've been here for 5 years. I've not gotten a raise. And you just saw me plug in 65 hours a week, nights, weekends, Disney World with our kids, and I'm still working. Like, can we talk about something? Because clearly I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
And I will never forget that same evening, you know, him looking at me and going, thank you for everything that you've done, but it wouldn't be fair to everyone else if we give you a raise. And here I am having to go home to my five-year-old and, mommy, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I had to go into a thankless job where they don't really care. Like, it's, and for me, it was like, you know, when we first had our kids, there's always that selfishness as a parent of like, oh, I'm going to miss this time with my kids and they're babies and they don't remember. Well, now she's starting to remember.
Yep.
And for me, I was like, and I don't care what it takes. I don't care whatever it takes. I'm going to fix it because she deserves it. And her brother deserves it.
Yep. Whatever it takes, it still hits me because I have moments where my kids where, you know, I've had to miss something and I don't want that feeling. I don't want that look. I don't want them to see it. And man, I mean, I feel it now, but when I saw that, I stopped, I cried. I mean, I'm not going to hide that. I cried because I know seeing, you know, my kids and, you know, telling them, well, you know, dad has to go out and do this today or dad can't do this today. But just like you, I made a change. So here's what I did. I made my schedule and fit my kids in it.
Mm. Yeah.
I switched that. Here's my kids' things and what can I put around them? And that's huge. That changed everything. It changed the way I saw things with them. So if Taekwondo takes precedence. That's it. That's what we're doing. If I have to drive 3 hours to Northern Baltimore or whatever it is for a 1 hour lacrosse game, damn it, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you pointed out, like, they remember that stuff, right? And so the job, if you leave, your car tires aren't even warmed up yet and they've already got somebody in that spot. They don't care, but the kids care and they need to know that. And you know, it's a conscious effort. It's not something that happens because, like Jeremy said earlier, it's society that pushes us to do that. Like, we need to be at work or we can't do this. So creating a business and having something like this that allows you that freedom to do those things is what I think people miss. Setting a schedule, taking control of their time and things that we miss. That's been the biggest thing for me. And so just want to jump back to Jeremy's point when he said that people, you know, the things come up during your schedule and you have to deal with those, but at least you have a schedule that you're trying to plan out your day. Most people, their schedule is reacting to things that are happening, and then they say they don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big takeaway from you. I haven't even joined. So all full disclosure, I haven't joined Beachbody. I haven't joined the club or anything, but I've taken points away that you've shared and implemented them into my life. And so, I mean, can you share some of the things, not anybody specific, but just some of the things you've helped with? Like, how are you changing? How is this business changing not only people's bodies, but their lives and what they're doing? Like, you have, I forget, you mentioned it earlier, what the not the club, but the...
like our accountability.
Your accountability, yeah. So you guys meet up and you're talking and you're getting things. Like, just talk about like a story or something along with how you've helped somebody that way. I want to know personally. This is a little selfish. I want to know.
Yeah. So, well, I was talking to one of our newer coaches this morning, and, you know, like we said, everything rises and falls on belief. And, you know, a lot of times we come into things carrying the baggage of what didn't work or where we failed or where we messed up before. When first starting this business, I remember there was a dear friend of mine from school who, you know, she probably had like 110 pounds to lose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to talk about coming in as a brand new baby entrepreneur, like, I'm not certified, like I'm nobody special, I'm not an expert, but just taking the things that I was learning and breaking down those goals and celebrating the milestones along the way. And I remember working with her and she was so beat down because she had tried everything else and nothing worked and she was on all this medication and, you know, she needed to lose the weight to take pressure off her back and her knees, but she couldn't because she couldn't move. Like all of these things were just like doubt and fear and why she couldn't do it. And I just remember being like, you know, 110 pounds, that's huge, right? Like that's scary. That's a big mountain, right? Building a business, an empire is a huge mountain.
Yep.
So how can we break it down? And something that I learned from Shalene Johnson was focus on the next 5 feet in front of you. We may not be able to see the whole path, but we can see what little bits in front of us. So, you know, working with her and I said, all right, first 10 pounds, let's focus on the first 10, right? Here's the plan. We've got the tools in the toolbox. Here's the plan. We're going to be there as accountability buddies. When, not if, but when you do that, how are you going to celebrate it? Hmm. She's like, girl, I'm going to get a pedicure. All right. So get that pad. I'm going to help you get that pedicure. And that's all that we did is we broke down that big, massive push goal.
Yep.
Into manageable bite-sized pieces with daily action steps. And it took her 2.5 years, but she lost the weight. She's off of 5 medications. Her thyroid is regulated. Her blood pressure is good. She's playing with her kids and she's kept it off. And it was all, you know, I didn't give her a secret formula or like, but it was a shift in perspective.
Yep.
And, you know, that was huge. And, you know, so that's one testimony. You know, another piece from even, you know, a business side, like I said, you know, oftentimes we look at something so different and, you know, oh my gosh, like what about that fear and what about that judgment? One of our coaches, Leanne, who, you know, works for the government and recently impacted by all the shutdowns mm-hmm. and has been furloughed and all of that, this business was actually something that helped keep her family afloat. So they didn't have to go into default.
Wow.
So she didn't have to, if the government, you know, God forbid, decides, hey, we want to shut down shop. She has a plan B for her family. And she is now stepping into a position where I'm taking control of what I can control and my family. I'm not waiting for someone to give me permission. I'm not waiting for someone to tell me what to do. And that is so empowering.
Yep.
You know, and it's just it's giving someone a breath of hope that they probably didn't even know existed, that they otherwise wouldn't have. And that, believe it or not, like it's those stories that, you know, I don't care that I have 13,000 followers on Instagram. I don't care how many likes I get on Facebook. Like popularity does not equal success.
No.
First of all, nope. You know, like. Hitler had hundreds of thousands of followers. Jesus had 12, and I'm just going to let that lay. Like, but it's the stories like that where it's like, that's why we show up every day. And this is why we build our, this is why we do this with excellence. And this is why we serve, because at the end of the day, it don't matter how amazing we may think that we are. It's not about us.
Nope.
It's about the people that we serve.
It's huge in helping other people. And I think that's what people miss. It's not about you. It's about you get so much, I get so much more joy about helping other people. And so when you're coming from, so when you talk about the extra income, like you're not just telling people that, you lived that. Like that was really helping you stay afloat with the job losses and other things. And so you turn that over and like, look, I'm not asking anything of you that I'm not done or haven't done or gone through. It can happen. I'm proof that it can happen. And here's how you do that. And
yeah.
So helping people understand and make sense of it, just like you said, make sense of this extra income and time. People are like, I don't have time to do that. You do. I do. I was doing this and this and running here and Jeremy was here. And so you have it, and showing people that And so I that's one of the things that I love about the open, the honest, open transparency that the HOT that you share is that, look, it's real life. We're not pretending. There's nothing fake about this. We've had problems. We've stumbled. We still do every single day, and we're still doing it. We're here for you. So I think that's super important.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other piece too, especially in entrepreneurship, it's waiting for the qualification to just go for it.
Yep.
And we often forget that, you know, when we can be trusted with little, then we will be trusted with much. And you have to be good stewards of that little. And for us, you know, when we first started this, it was because it was a difference of $200 every month, whether or not our bank account was going to be overdrafted.
Wow.
And we had those corporate jobs, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and, but that's for us, it started with $200 extra breathing room. And, you know, now we can sit back 5 years later and we run a successful 6-figure business that's, you know, paid off all of our debt and allowed me to walk away from my cushy 9-to-5. And, you know, this success is determined by your own diligence and skill and hustle. Like, let's put the disclaimer in there for all of our legal friends. But, you know, I think a lot of times people will look and say, well, when I can build this business to this point, then I'm going to do that. And it's like, no, you've got to be a good steward of those little things and celebrate those little milestones, because then you're never going to see that big stuff. If you always wait to feel ready or to feel qualified or, you know, when I have that, you got to walk those staircases to get to that point.
Yeah. So I think it's important that people understand that you were just looking for a couple hundred extra dollars. You got a friend in the background. Just a couple hundred extra dollars is how it started. Like, hey, this is some breathing room. This is some extra. And then, wait a minute, I can help other people change their lives and what they do. And then obviously things build on top of that. But I think that's how a lot of people get started. You mentioned Leanne with the government job or whatever in the shutdown. That was the difference in them making it or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
She probably didn't start that way. Nobody anticipates a government shutdown. We know they're a reality, but they just pop up like, man, this helped. So people seeing that, right? They just see, hey, Steph's successful and she's got all these things going. But man, you guys share everything. You share, we had trouble and we struggled here. Jeremy didn't have enough me time and getting that in. And nobody saw that. Nobody saw any of that, but you share it. And so I think that's why you have such a good following and of good people, right? Good, like you said, not everybody's for me and that's okay. But the people that are here are really, really good. And I think that's one of the things that drive people there.
You say track your tribe,
Yes, that's a huge one. So I think that we've gotten the good, the bad, and the ugly all in. And I just want people to understand, you know, how they can find you or follow you or be a part of the Beachbody tribe that you have. Can you share some of those things and how people can contact you?
Yeah, for sure. So the one thing, whether people realize this or not, is, you know, what we do as coaches, like, whether y'all get us for free, like, you know, the accountability groups and the love and the support, that's complimentary that we give to our clients and our customers. Like, you're not paying any extra for that. Yeah. So, you know, and that was something I share that because, you know, when I went on Amazon or eBay and I bought that insanity box, I didn't get a free coach. I didn't get a free virtual BFF. Like, it was me versus me. And so, you know, just most people don't know that. And so, you know, you can definitely connect with us that way. We are on Facebook and Instagram at BeFitSteph is the handle. I know, really, really authentic. Or on our website, stephcram.com. We're trying to kind of build the whole cram fam silliness, but, you know, you can search that hashtag and find anything with us. And that's really the best way to connect with us is online. We live in the online space, not because we're experts in it, but, you know, it's easy to get sucked into the comparison and the negativity. And, you know, we want to live in a space where we can just be a light in someone's day.
You're positive, you're real, and I just want to thank you for sharing. I know that we've tried to connect a little bit here and there, and I impromptu called you in front of 35,000 people live, and that was a lot of fun. I just scrolled through. I was like, well, I guess Steph's getting a call today. Hopefully she answers.
That was awesome.
So that was so awesome. So, Steph, thank you. I really mean it. And thank Jeremy, too. Thank you for being here and part of this podcast. But just sharing your life and more importantly, changing other people's lives. I think that people just see, oh, you know, Insanity and all those things and Beachbody and they don't understand. And I think that you share a lot and people can connect. I just want people to understand that it's not just, you know, paying $100 for a kit. I don't know what it is, right? For a kit. It's really having a new group of friends that think differently. And that's one of the things that I take away from my mentor is that you have to get around people that think differently. And so I love your group and I love what you're doing. And I just want to thank you again for sharing everything you have.
Thank you so much. It was so like, it lit my soul on fire to like, to hear you invite and reach us out and, you know, happy if there's even one person who we've been able to uplift and encourage by sharing any bit of this, you know, it's worth it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Steph.
Thank you, friend. Appreciate it.